This podcast is produced by the National Association of Broadcasters and powered by Blog Talk Radio.
Breaking down the issues, interviewing thought leaders, learning from fellow broadcasters. From Washington, D.C., this is the NAB Podcast. Here's your host, Josh Miley.
Happy August and welcome to another installment of the NAB Podcast, powered by Blog Talk Radio. You know the commands. Alexa, play a rock radio station from my hometown. Okay, Google, what does the local TV station say about today's weather? But how much do you actually know about the smart speaker landscape and the opportunities it affords broadcasters? This growing content outlet takes center stage on today's episode, as I'm joined in studio by Brian Savoy, NAB Senior Director, Technology Education and Outreach, and our in-house expert on all things Amazon Echo, Google Home, and the like. Recently, Brian hosted a webcast on the subject. It was called Powering Up Alexa, Video, Interactivity, Best Practices. We'll chat about the webcast in a bit, and further details on it can be found on our website, nab.org, under the Education drop-down tab. But now, without further ado, here with Brian Savoy. Brian, again, thank you so much for coming in and joining us, taking a minute or two out from talking to speakers and talking to machines, which is what you are want to do these days, if I am to be told correctly.
You got it. It's always great to talk with you, Josh, and it's good to talk to machines, too.
There we go. Well, let's talk about smart speakers and voice interactive and voice devices that are out there. Kind of level set for us. Where are we at in that marketplace? How many devices are out there? What are people using them for? That sort of thing.
Well, there are millions and millions of devices out there. Depending on how you look at it, I think one of the ways to approach it is you can look at the smart speakers, but if you really look at the assistants and all of the different devices that they're being built into, whether it's smoke detectors and other things along those lines, you really are talking about millions and millions of devices. But I think that the number to keep in mind is really that by 2020, Gartner estimates that 75% of households in the U.S. will have at least one type of smart speaker to engage with audiences at any time. And 75% of the audience in that period of time would make it the most adopted consumer technology of all time. Better than tablets, better than smartphones, anything else.
Right, because if we think about it, it was, 2015 when Alexa debuted. So that's 3 years ago. And so you're saying within 4 years, 75% of homes are going to have this. And it's not just like, oh, I went and bought one, right? A lot of homes have multiple.
Yeah, you're looking at over 40% of homes have more than one smart speaker in their home. Okay, so people like these things. They don't want to just have it in the living room. They quickly said, you know what? I want this in my bedroom. I want to figure out what more can it do. You know, I've talked to friends who, you know, they love to read their kids' stories, but their kids also like to ask Alexa to tell them, you know, bedtime stories and things along those lines too. So being able to have, you know, more than one device allows, you know, the skill sets of these devices to exist in the context and the places that you want them to exist.
All right, let's talk about what I think broadcasters will be focusing on the most, and that is the smart speakers that Google and Amazon has. Kind of tell us, you know, what those are. I think it's Google Home and it's Amazon Alexa or the Echo, however you want to
right.
Position it, and what the differences are between the two.
Okay, I think from the broadcaster point of view, I think the thing to look at with the Alexa is it's the most open of the platforms in that you know, they have a detailed, sophisticated even developer community that's out there. They're encouraging people to develop new skills, and skills are the invoked software that is being called for when a user is engaging with that platform in order to do it. When you look at Google Home, the real skill set is that conversational piece of it. You can ask, you know, Google Home very complex questions, and because that platform's AI is built on the foundation of Google Translate, you know, the same software base, you can get really complex and deep responses. Alexa's just not as smart. It's fantastic for commerce. And I think that that's one of the things that, you know, if you're looking to at the buying process and purchasing things, really, Alexa is fantastic for that. Being able to say, you know, you ran out of toilet paper, you ran out of bleach or milk. Well, maybe not milk, but maybe soon. You'll be able to get whatever you need with Prime in, you know, 24 or 48 hours.
Well, and you said with soon, and I think that's because of Whole Foods, obviously, and that purchase that Amazon made.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Okay, so what are stations doing specifically? What sort of content are they putting on these devices?
Well, I think that one of the things that many or most of them are doing at this point is that they're putting out their primary program stream. And that's the easiest thing to do. And many of them are doing that in a couple of different ways. They could be doing it with the core integration with iHeart or TuneIn that is natively on all of these devices. But many stations are also creating, you know, their own unique experiences on these platforms.
All right, I want to stop you there, because just in case people are very new to this,
yeah,
I think people are, they might stop and say, wait, my radio station is already there. How is it already there?
Well, if your station already has agreements with, you know, with iHeart or TuneIn to stream via those platforms that are available on mobile devices, then you're already there.
Okay, and that's the default then. So if somebody says, play W, insert your call letters here, it'll default to one of those two apps.
You got it. That's exactly what it'll do.
Right.
So if you are on one of those platforms already, you are there right now.
Okay, and now we're going to talk about if you want to build your own skill, your own specific skill for Alexa, what exactly the benefits of that are.
Well, I think that one of the things that you're able to do there is you're able to have more control of your own destiny. Okay, so you can create custom utterances. So you can do things along the lines of, say, you know, open the door to K and whatever your call letters are. And it will, you know, allow you to enter in that, enter into that experience and enter into that skill. And why is that valuable? I think it comes down to promotion, controlling your own destiny, being able to add in your own pre-rolls to those experiences. Now, as far as monetization strategy goes, I think that whether you would be able to monetize that more, I don't know. And I think that's one of the challenges, is to figure out, is creating that skill a monetizable or more monetizable than being on those other core skills.
Well, I think you can put more content in there too, right? It's not just going to be your stream if you create your own skill.
Well, and I think that's one of the things that people are looking at right now is, can you through, you know, a decision tree type path, guide people to play podcasts, play clips from the morning show, you know, doing things like customized weather, and. Those are certain things that having a, you know, specific skill for your company that's going beyond the primary program stream, that's where the advantage is there.
All right. So beyond radio stations, what about on the television side? How can they get into this game?
Well, I think that television, radio, I think that it's similar. I think that you're talking about how do you, you know, serve the audience that you have through this platform while creating an ecosystem of devices. We just were on a webcast with John Beard from Graham, and I think that he made a really good point, something that I hadn't really looked at as far as approaching this, is that while the smart speaker is a platform into and unto itself, it's part of a wider ecosystem that connects to you know, all sorts of devices that are in your pockets, in your home, in your car, and everywhere. And so how do you look at the strength of that platform? Okay, so if you're looking at the Echo or the Dot or any of the Amazon Alexa devices, if that's audio only, how do you utilize your talent to have the talent that you have at your TV station, you know, deliver weather that your audience expects to hear when they call for that. He made a good point about the flash briefing as well. And the flash briefing is an embedded portion of Amazon Alexa that allows the user to choose their top news sources, whether it's whether it's a national or international source or local sources. And if if your viewers or listeners want to choose you to have a relationship with on this platform, then you are part of their feed for local news, weather, or sports.
And obviously, once you get that built, it all comes down to promoting and letting your audience know that you're there.
That's absolutely right. And I think that that on this webcast, I think Bob Kernan from Jake Apps, I think he points that out continually. I think that he talked about, they had two clients in the same market. And the difference between growth and listenership on that platform came down to the amount and the type of promotion that the two stations did.
All right. I noticed, and you talked about this on the webcast a little bit, an interactive app that the BBC did for the Alexa. Can you talk us through exactly what that was?
Yeah, absolutely. So at IBC last year, there were a few presentations by Henry Cook about an experiment that they were just getting ready to do. And what they did was they did a focus group where they developed, it was a choose your own adventure type of thing. Okay. All right.
So I remember those.
Weren't they great?
I love those.
Oh my God. Well, now you can do it on the voice platforms as well.
Oh man.
So it's a sci-fi story that none of their focus group members liked. When I say nobody, I mean like 16% of their audience liked it, but they really liked interacting with the story. Okay. They liked the fact that they would be guided through a story and then they would get to come to a choice point. And instinctually, their audience, their focus group audience, knew exactly what to do. They knew that, all right, I can choose to go, through door A or down hallway B. In my mind, it's like it reminds me, yes, of the Choose Your Own Adventure books, but also of the rudimentary text adventure games that I played in the 80s, the Zorks and those kinds of things. And you did. I mean, even back then, you knew how to function through the story because we've been going through choice-based stories for our entire lives in a variety of ways.
I can see it now. I can see somebody getting Snoop Dogg to voice an Oregon Trail game and it just being hilarious and just taking over for like 2 or 3 weeks and getting into the zeitgeist. And if you're a brand or if you're a marketer, just you're eating up the culture for a couple of weeks with something as simple but as fun as that.
Well, and I think that's the exciting thing to look at is that there is so many ways that while that may be the level of effort that BBC R&D put into that may be more than broadcasters are willing to take on an experiment right now. The concept is something that looking at how can you offer this to brands, how can you offer this to your clients as an added experience, something that is bigger that you could incorporate into the platform in an exciting new way.
So that sounds a bit to me like a little bit of a technical challenge. What other challenges might be out there in this space?
Well, I think that there are a number of challenges. I think that you talk to both broadcasters and consultants who are working with them, and they'll tell you that none of the platforms have a firm monetization strategy for monetizing content. They're looking at the platforms themselves. Google and Amazon are looking at ways to increase engagement with their audience. Increase the amount of utterances that people use in order to continue having them in the device. But as far as, monetizing the actual engagement with the device, it's rudimentary to say the best, and Google specifically has shunned that. So I think that's one of the challenges for broadcasters right now, technically, is how do you build in some type of way of monetizing these experiences over the top of that platform?
All right. So if monetization is light, to say the least, at this moment in time, there's going to be a school of thought out there that says, well, why do I have to be there now than until there's money to be made? And what's your answer to that?
Well, the listeners are there. Okay. I think that's one of the things. If you're a radio broadcaster, you know, really no matter what radio broadcaster you are, you know, if there was an NPR Edison study that came out that showed, you know, exponential growth in that platform in a 3-month period of time, where the individuals who were streaming NPR content went from 3% of their total streams to 13%. That was from November of last year to February of this year. That's insane. If you look at what I've heard from broadcast groups, they've echoed that. They haven't given me specific numbers, but they've said the listening has seen exponential growth in these platforms. So I think as far as like why, if the monetization isn't there, do you do this? I think it's because we need to be where our listeners are.
Right. And this is not going to go away. This is the way technology is going. Voice is going to be a part of our lives, the rest of our lives.
If you listen to what the analysts are saying and what you hear from your friends and neighbors about their utilization of the platform, yeah, I would agree with that.
Well, and we've been, you know, we've kind of been schooled on it through pop culture growing up, right? If I watch sci-fi, you're able to talk to this and that and things happen and you go, wow, I can't wait to get to that. And now that we're almost there, it's pretty exciting.
Well, the engineers at Amazon built it to be like the computer from Star Trek and have that in your home. So now we have that. Sci-fi paved the way and now we're there to enjoy it.
All right. Speaking of your home, what do you use your Amazon with? What skills do you have?
Well, I have a ton of skills. I was an early adopter to the platform, so my lights do things. You know, it would make me a cup of coffee if I drank coffee at home enough. But my family likes to play around with it for a few things. So we utilize the Jeopardy skill quite a bit. It asks you, you know, 10 questions over 2 rounds. And I mean, it's a great way for us to, you know, have fun together, see who knows what, and have, you know, Alexa tell us that we're wrong. They really missed the point on there because, you know, Trebek doesn't tell us that we're wrong. Alexa tells us that we're wrong. And, you know, I think that the app would be so much better if they had Trebek doing that part of it.
Hall of Famer Alex Trebek, by the way.
Indeed, indeed. Hall of Famer Alex Trebek. The other thing that we really like to do is to taunt my dog using animal sounds. So do you remember that device growing up that you would pull a string and it would make animal sounds?
Yes.
Alexa does this too, and you can just keep asking it to, you know, make the sound of a cow, make a sound of a duck, chicken. It'll do it all. But it'll also make the sound of an aardvark. And if you ever have some time at home, you should do this. And it scared the pants off of my dog. And she wasn't wearing pants at the time. So, I mean, it was fantastic.
And you can also use it to teach your children. We should say that, too. If your kids want to know what the sound of an aardvark is, they can learn it that way.
Yes, they absolutely can. It's not just for scaring animals anymore.
All right. Well, Brian, I'm going to let you get out of here, but you mentioned earlier a webcast that you did. It's called Powering Up Alexa, Video Interactivity and Best Practices. This is your elevator pitch on why people should register and watch if they have not already.
Well, for managers, folks who are in sales and folks who are developers in the area of digital, I think that going there really moves beyond the curiosity stage of the technology and looking at what are some of the best practices for utilizing this. And we've got some great early movers in this. We've got Bob Kernan, who's the COO of Jake Apps. They've built out skills for thousands of their clients. And we've got John Beard from Graham Media, who's been looking at how this applies for television groups. And, you know, looking at the overall ecosystem and how this impacts the digital ecosystem.
All right. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say that you did a bit more in-depth level setting than you did here at the beginning of that webcast as well.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
All right. Well, Brian, we're out of time, but thank you for coming in.
You bet. Thanks so much, Josh.
All right. As a reminder, that webcast is Powering Up Alexa, Video Interactivity and Best Practices, and it is available on our website, nab.org, under the Education drop-down tab. It's free for NAB members and just $99 for everyone else. Not a member? Consider this a formal invitation to explore joining thousands of your fellow broadcasters in NAB membership. Call 202 929-5400 or email membership@neb.org. You'll discover how joining benefits your company, your people, and your bottom line. Quick note that the smart speaker landscape will be a topic at this year's radio show as well. We've got a session. It's called Alexa, Let's Listen to the Radio, Best Practices for Smart Speakers. You can find details on that and a whole lot more at radioshowweb.com. That's all for today. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more compelling conversations. Until then, catch up on past episodes of the NAB Podcast on your mobile device via Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Blog Talk Radio. I'm Josh Miley. Have a great week, and thank you for listening to the NAB Podcast, powered by Blog Talk Radio.